was Cain. Of course, he turned out and killed his brother. Didn't turn out too good. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. Chapter 4, verse 1, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And that old boy became a teenager, and he had been the first one in the world. Adam wasn't ever a teenager. Wouldn't that have been wonderful? Just to have been born, grown? If you live through your teenage years, you're doing good nowadays. And Adam didn't have to be a teenager. Eve was never a teenager. Adam and Eve didn't even have a belly button, far as I know. God made them grown. See? But their kids grew up like everybody else had. And they grew up, and Cain became the world's first teenager. So I want to preach to you on what is a teenager. All young people, listen real carefully this morning, because you may be wondering what you are. I know a lot of other people are. And so I'm going to try to tell you what is a teenager. It's that weird time of life that you're neither a child nor an adult. It's a transitional period. In other words, let me show you one right quick. I'll show you what I'm talking about this morning.
Excuse me. See this right here? All right, now, give me a little boy. Come here, Samuel. Now, give me, I need a man here. Brother Tater, you come up here. They ain't got to see you since you've been sick. Now, I'm going to ask you a question this morning. What, and I'm down just a hair, Brother Roy, what is a teenager? What is a teenager? It is that time of life between being a kid and being an adult. Now, everybody in here knows what that is. That's a kid. Everybody in here knows what that is. That's a man. But what is that? How are you going to describe something like that? What is that thing? It ain't a kid. It ain't an adult. Weird thing. Being a teenager is crossing a bridge. See, God makes you, you're little, and you're headed towards this. But you got to cross this bridge to get there, and it's called teenagers. And so that's why there's so many things that's rough and hard on teenagers. They're going over a bridge. They're going from childhood to adulthood. Everything is new. One minute, a teenager can be up giving a speech on the European common market. The next minute, he's chasing the girls around the house with a green snake. He ain't a kid. He ain't an adult. One day, his room looks like inspection day in the army, where the white glove test can pass. The next day, it looks like Hiroshima after they bombed it in the war. What is a teenager? One day she's in an evening gown, getting all dressed up and fixing her hair, going to the prom. The next day she's in an old dirty pair of old play clothes and the floor playing with baby dolls in her room. Being a teenager is a time of life when half the adults are telling you to find yourself, the other half are telling you to get lost. It's a strange time of life. It's a time when girls learn how to do, it takes them exact amount of time to do their homework as it does mom to finish the dishes. It's a weird time. So can anybody tell us what a teenager is? Now, a teenager is more an adult than a kid. You kids going to like me saying this, because so mamas and daddies, they should be treated more like adults than like children. And you'll learn that as they grow older and grow on in life. All right, you three fellows can sit down.
What is a teenager? Let me say this. It is a time of excitement. For all you teenagers here this morning, you are in a time of excitement. I told the girls up there in their class this morning, you can make up your face easier than your mind. And it's hard for them to make the right, because it's so exciting. You get your license when you're a teenager. That's something to look forward to. I couldn't wait till I got 16 to get my license. And on my 16th birthday, I had my mom take me down there to the little place down there. And buddy, we drove in there and I paid them several dollars. And I got my license and buddy, did I come back to town like I was a big shot. Come driving up 226 and I drove home. I mean, I thought I'm a big man now. I've got my license. That all happens when during those times is when you start dating. Seems like there's too many big things here during them years. But I never will forget the first time I took a girl on a date, and it wasn't a date. I never would ask them out on a date because I figured they wasn't worth wasting my money on. And I really did. That's what I thought. I said, well, good night. I ain't going to haul her around and buy her supper and everything. I figured, what's in it for me? You know, there ain't nothing to this. And I just didn't date girls on account of that. But I never will forget that first night that this girl that I kind of liked and she kind of liked me or something. Anyway, we had a dance at school and I said, can I take you home? And she said, yeah. And the only reason I did it is because that's what everybody else is doing. And I figured, well, all these other boys are laughing at you if you don't. So I took her home, and it was awful. I mean to tell you, brother, first of all, this one guy that liked her, all of us over there, was going to beat me up because he didn't want her riding home with nobody else. And I scared him, and another guy was going to jump on me. And then I started pulling up in her driveway, and I hadn't been driving too long, and I could barely see over the top of the dash. Ditch! And pulled off in the ditch, man. And her daddy come out the front door, said, what's going on out there? I was sitting there like this. She got out of the car, she said, I'm gone. She got out of the car, walked in the house. He come out there and said, what's the matter, you boy, you drunk? I said, no, sir. Didn't see that ditch. He come out there, helped me get the car out of the ditch. That was the stupidest thing. I hated it. I was miserable. You remember those days? It's rough. You remember, well, when you're a teenager, you think, boy, it's going to be this and be that, and it's going to be romantic, and I'm going to get through this, and I'm going to... It never turns out like you think it will. There's always a hair in your food. There's always something to spoil it. It never is. But let me say this, a time of excitement. Let me say something that you might shock you to hear me say, because the way I preach about puppy love and stuff like that, I'm going to say something that's going to surprise some of you. A lot of people ask me, a lot of young girls say, Brother Danny, do you really think I could be in love? Brother Danny, do you think that I love a girlfriend? I don't know if I'm in love or not. And the average answer, you know what it is from an adult, but let me say something this morning just to clear the air. I believe, as sure as I'm standing here, that a teenager can be in love. I'm going to say it again so you can hear me. I believe that a teenager can experience real love. I shocked some of you there, didn't I? There is a lot of puppy love. There is a lot of infatuation. There is a lot of crush. But I'll guarantee you, at 14 years old, or 15 years old, they can actually be in love. You say, well, Brother Danny, how come they shouldn't go ahead and get married? I'm fixing to tell you. A preacher's daughter came to him one time. She said, can a teenager be in love? And she expected him to say, no, get that stupid stuff out of your head. That's ridiculous. Listen, when parents talk to them like that, that's what makes them go talk to somebody else. Because they think, Mama don't understand me. Mama tells me I'm crazy. And I ain't crazy because I know what I feel. And the devil drives a wedge in between you and your teenagers when you tell them they're crazy and don't know what they're talking about. And they know that feeling's there and they know something there more than what you're saying. And so she came to her daddy and she said, Daddy, can a teenager be in love? And he said, yes. But I'll show you something, honey.
And he went over to the sink and got two glasses. He got a little glass and he got a big glass. He filled both of them up with water. He walked over and sat down in front of that teenage girl and said, "Now, honey, what's in them glasses?" She said, "Water." He said, "Water in this one, water in that one, right?" She said, "That's right." Now he said, "Darling, it's like this. When you're young, you can have real water. H2O, chemically the same. The ingredients are the same. But your glass is not as big as it will be when you grow up. And you may have the real thing, but you don't have the capacity to have all of it like an adult. And you want to make sure when you get married that you give your husband the very, very best and most love you can give him. So what you need to do now, I'm not telling you you don't have real love. I'm just saying on wait till you get a bigger glass. And one day when you're grown and your glass is big, you'll be able to give that man that God chose for you all the love that an adult should be able to give their husband or their wife. And the reason a young girl should not get married at 14 and 15 and 16 years old and all, it's not, you can't tell them they don't have love because they do. It's just that they're not mature enough to have a full glass of it yet. And so being a teenager, you go through all of those things. I want to read you a testimony that a young lady gave me the other day. And I was preaching somewhere over mountains. And this girl who was at our last youth rally and heard Sister Kelly's testimony wrote hers down and said, when that girl gave hers that Saturday night youth rally, God wanted me to give mine. She wrote it and gave it to me. And here it is, just on the same paper he wrote it. And let me read, I won't read it all, but let me read this to you. "I've never really felt like life had dealt me a good hand. I've always seemed to find myself in all the wrong places." This is still a young lady. "Growing up as a child, my mother and father divorced when I was very young. Somehow I felt cheated by that. When there's a divorce in the family, the kids never get over it. They never over it. They never, ever, ever get over it. That ought to be enough for you mamas and daddies to love each other and keep your homes together. They'll never get over a divorce. We lived in fear for our lives because of my father. It seemed like we were always moving, always having to leave someone behind that you'd grown close to. I didn't really have a childhood. My sister and I had to grow up fast. We were responsible for our younger brother and sister. At that time, my mother wasn't saved, and she had grown up pretty fast herself. And now, she was making up for what she had missed. When I was in the seventh grade, we moved from Georgia to North Carolina. I started drinking and smoking pot. I was the one in the class that always wanted the attention. I was starved for attention." You mamas and daddies listening? You parents hearing me? I was starved for attention. I went to the extremes to get attention. It's not always the quiet, shy one that has problems, as in my case, the loud one. I ran away several times in my life, and sometimes months would go by before I'd contact my mother. There were lonely nights, long nights of not knowing where you'd sleep or what you'd eat. Many times I stayed in houses with people I didn't know. I'd lay on the floor scared to close my eyes for fear that I wouldn't wake up. Many times I mixed different drugs and alcohol to the extent of not knowing what happened for many hours, and in some cases days at a time. Even while I was out on the streets, I'd pray to God to keep me. I married at the age of 14, and 10 weeks later, I was single again. Only this time, I was my own legal responsibility. After a while, I went back to Florida to my mother's house. I never quit drinking or doing drugs. I'd stay out all night and sleep all day. I started back to school and made it through the 10th grade.
before I left home again and moved back to North Carolina, where I remarried the father of my two sons. After the first year, our life of alcohol and drugs, fighting, and many separations. Finally, after 6 years of marriage, we divorced. He's in prison now, serving time for drugs and armed robbery. After our divorce, I had the boys with me, and times grew harder and harder. My youngest son had to have surgery and afterward went to stay with my mother and stepfather. My oldest son remained with me, and I prayed endless nights that he wouldn't remember those days. I was arrested on several occasions for driving under the influence, assault, damage to private property, and the list went on. The drinking and the drugs and the parties were getting worse and worse. Even in the large crowds of people, I was always lonely. There was a void in my life. It had always been there, and the drugs and the drinking or the men couldn't fill the emptiness that I felt. I'd visit my mother's church from time to time. The people always seemed to be smiling and happy. I just couldn't fit in. My mother told me many times that I needed the Lord, and I knew she was right. I just couldn't let go of the world. I tried on several occasions to save myself. I thought if I wasn't always smiling and happy, I'd already messed up, and back out in the world I'd go. Finally, things got so bad, I was pulled over for another DWI, my sixth one. And while I was sitting in the car, I took an overdose, the second attempt to take my own life. Thank God He saved my life those times, or I'd be burning in hell this very minute. There were many days, wasted days and nights, the feeling of loneliness and emptiness. I entered a treatment hospital for alcohol and drugs. The cost was $30,000. When I came out of the hospital, I was still just as empty and lonely as I was before I went in. But I had 3 months of alcohol and drug-free days. And I had talked to the Lord, but still no commitment. After being out 2 weeks, I was right back on the wrong road. I prayed that if God would help me, I met a man that I didn't drink or use drugs. In 3 weeks, I married him. I not only married a man I didn't love, I didn't even know him either. I didn't work after we were married, and I had a lot of time to think. I didn't know why I'd married this man that I didn't love. I kept waiting for the Lord to deal with me again so that I could turn my life over to Him. He had dealt with me so many times for so many years, and now he was gone. Or I was afraid he was. Then one day, while talking to my mother on the phone, she said, "Honey, the Lord's knocking at your heart's door, but you have to let Him in. It's like a door, and the only doorknob is on your inside. If you don't open the door, He won't open it. The choice is yours." I pondered on what she had said the whole day. That night, the Lord showed me that I was going to be left behind at the end, that the decision had been mine, and I had chose the world. I can remember seeing people all around me being taken up into the sky, into the arms of Jesus. My boys standing by my side were screaming and crying. I lifted my hand toward heaven and tried to push myself up with the tips of my toes. But I couldn't go anywhere. She said, woke up, she had a new feeling. She turned her life over to the Lord. I had a love in my heart for my husband that only God could have put there. That night was the beginning of my life. The alcohol and drugs are all gone now, and I live my life for Jesus Christ. I ran with the devil, but now I walk with the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what the sad thing is? The sad thing is, most of them that go that far don't ever get out to tell about it. The devil gets them on the highway. The devil gets them with a drug overdose. He convinces them that no, there's nothing to live for. He tells them that mama don't care, that daddy don't care, and their friends have betrayed them. Maybe their boyfriend dumped them or their girlfriend. The devil will tell you there's nothing to live for, young people. That's why being a teenager is a time of danger. You can make some terrible, terrible, terrible mistakes in your younger years that you'll pay for the rest of your life. Do you know that? I've heard about a young lady who was only just a teenage girl, something like 14 years old. And her friend got saved and began to witness to her. I think her name was Donna. And this young girl began to witness to her, and she told her, she said, "Donna, she said, you need to get saved."
And Donna, who was only 14, said, "Who, me? I've got plenty of time. I've never felt better in my life."
And on the school bus, her friend who had got saved was loving the Lord, and his kids made fun of her on the bus, and they'd mess up her hair and spit in it, call her old plain Jane and preacher. And she really had a burden for this girl, 14 years old, and she began to talk to her. And the girl said, "I never felt better in my life." And she said, "Donna, you better get saved, because you may be in hell before tomorrow."
And she said, "Oh, that's silly. I've got plenty of time. I'll live my life like I want to."
She went home that next day, began to talk to her mother in a way that she shouldn't. Her mother had something planned. She had something planned. And it never did work out. For that young girl got to feeling bad and hurting and lay down. And a strange thing happened. They rushed her to the hospital. She was screaming. They set her down on the bed. They took her in the emergency room. And in just a few minutes, she was dead. And the weird part about it was, when they examined her to try to determine the cause of death, there was no medical reason for her dying. She just died. And less than 24 hours ago, her friend had told her on the school bus, "Donna, hell before tomorrow." And she laughed and thought it was funny. That's why I say being a teenager is a time of excitement. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of joy. It's a lot of happiness. But it's a dangerous time. And I'm telling you this morning, if you don't know for a fact that you're going to heaven, you could be in hell before tomorrow too. What is a teenager, preacher? A teenager is someone who's going from childhood to adulthood, but remember, you may never make it. And it's a dangerous time. You can make decisions while you're a teenager that you'll regret the rest of your life if your life is not turned over to Jesus. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. No talking, no looking around. We've had a lot of interruptions and disturbances, but please be patient with me just a minute and let's pray. Is God speaking to your heart today? I feel like someone here this morning, God has dealt with your heart. We're going to sing a verse or two of that song, "God of the Mountain." And if God wants to come into your heart this morning and change your life, we're going to get a chance to come. What I want you to do, if you're a teenager here this morning and you don't know for a fact that you're going to heaven when you die, maybe you're a mom or a dad, a young person, you say, "Preacher, hey, if I die today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm going to come to that altar. I'm going to do like Christian did. I want to get saved. I want to give my life to Jesus." As we sing this verse, you ought to just get out of your seat and come. Dear Lord, do what ought to be done in the invitation this morning.
Lord, our teenagers here this morning that we love and we're burdened for. If they're here this morning and they don't know they're right with you, help them to come. I do pray it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Now, if the Lord's speaking to you today, here in this service where we're having an emphasis on young people, let me ask you not to be ashamed nor afraid, but to just get out of your seat right now. Walk down here to this altar. How about it, girls? Young teenagers? Let God speak to your heart right now. Bye. Are you ready? Let God speak to your heart this morning. Just get out of your seat and come right now. Don't you be afraid and don't you be ashamed. Come on, Jesus, this morning.
Amen. Sing it out. Sing it out.
Amen. Just get out of your seat and come. Come on to Jesus this morning. Don't you be afraid. Don't you be ashamed.
My, my.
Don't pass up this opportunity, young people. Amen. Come on, while we sing.
Everybody sing it.
In the valley, when things go wrong.
Amen.
Yes, the Lord will make it right for you today.
The God of the day is the God in the night.
All right, we're going to have them to sing that second verse. The devil don't want you here this morning. The devil don't want you. That's why there's been so many problems. He don't want you to hear. He don't want you to be saved. He don't want your life to be right. While we sing that second verse, if God's speaking to your heart, maybe you need to get on this altar and rededicate your life. Maybe it's been a long time since you've been right with God. Just get out of your seat and come right now.
Ready?
You talk of faith.
Sing it out now.
Amen. Just get out of your seat and come right now. The Lord loves you today, young man. The Lord loves you today, young lady. Come on, somebody pray with young people coming. Let God speak to your heart today. Come on. Come on to Jesus.
Amen, that's right. Come on to Jesus. Amen.
That's when the Lord will help you tonight. Help you this morning if you'll come. Come on to Jesus. Come on, young people. Come on, don't you let the devil cheat you. Don't you let the devil cheat you this morning.
Yes. Amen. Is this young lady coming over here?
Amen. Let God speak to you this morning.
And the God of the good times is the God in the
land. Amen, that's right.
The God of the
dead. Amen. Just the chorus. Just the chorus. You ready?
And the God of the mountain.
The Lord will help you this morning if you'll come. Yes, He will. God will do a work in a teenager's life.
Amen.
He'll make it right. He'll let him.
I can't even hear you. Ready? All right, let's sing it. Just the chorus. Loud now, you ready?
And the God of the mountain.
Amen. That's right.
If you need to come, come on. Somebody else. Somebody else. Amen. Let the Lord speak your heart today. Maybe God is dealing with you this morning. How about it, young ladies? Don't say no to Jesus.
We're going to have them sing that chorus one more time while these are praying. I believe the devil is fighting some young people in here this morning. Deep, deep, deep down in your heart. You know things are not right. You know things are not right. And if God's dealing with you today, it'd be the perfect time. You're living in a dangerous time. It's very dangerous. You can mess up. You can mess up and pay for it the rest of your life. Why don't you turn it over to the Lord this morning? You say, Brother Danny, I just can't. Yeah, some of these have. None of them's what they ought to be. None of us are what we ought to be. But I'll tell you, if you'll turn it over to Jesus, He'll take you and make you what you can be for the glory of God. One more chorus. If you need to come, just get out of your seat. Walk on down here to this altar. Don't be ashamed. Just get on out of your seat. Are you ready? Just get out of your seat. Walk on down here right now. While we sing that chorus again. Come on right now. Come on right now.
And the God of the... Y'all. When things go,
amen. Sing it out now.
Amen. Come on. Amen. Let's bow our head just a moment while these praying. Maybe there's another. In the quietness of this moment while we're still praying, maybe there's another and say, "Preacher, I'm messed up. I need to get my life right with God. I used to serve God and I'm all messed up. And now I'm so worried I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know if God's going to have to kill me. I'm going to have to get in bad trouble or what. I just don't care." Let me tell you something, friend. By the time the Lord gets through with you, you'll care. Believe me. He's got ways of making you want to care again. But you can do it the easy way this morning and just turn it over to Jesus. Yes, you could. It ain't easy, preacher. I know it ain't easy. But you can do it. What they've got to face. And I believe God's greater than anything a devil's got, don't you? His grace is sufficient. And the Lord is able to help with any battle and trouble and trial they may have to go through. We're waiting a few seconds. Some are still praying. Some are making some decisions, getting some things settled between them and God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Dear Lord, thank you for these come. Thank you for these that are on the altar right now. I pray you'd bless them. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, please bless these that are on the altar this morning that have been on the altar. Give them a desire to live for you. Whatever it is they're trying to overcome in their life and the struggles and the battles they're having, give them grace and victory. Lord, work it. They can be in church regular and be in the part of what's going on and all these things. Dear Lord, do it. Please, Lord, do it. We pray in Jesus' name. Give them strength for the day. God, I pray that give us mamas and daddies better relationship and keep the air clear between us and our teenagers. Help us to love them and understand them. Be firm with them and discipline them, but at the same time love them and care about them. And Lord, I know you'll bless them. Thank these that have come. Thank you for the testimony. Thank you for the special singing. Thank you for everything that you've done. God, move on our young people. Great, great, mighty power. Don't let the devil steal what you started in their hearts a long time ago. Lord, let that fire keep burning. Let them care about souls. Let them be on fire for Jesus. Lord, let them do it all the way. We pray in His name and for His sake. Amen. 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 Hope everybody's got everything settled. Praise God. Hallelujah. And all God's people said,
amen. Amen.
If you're a young person here this morning and you know for a fact where you're going when you die, stop somebody, come up here, let us know after service. And you need to get that thing settled. Thank God. Next Sunday will be a real special group. We'll be thinking about mothers on Mother's Day. Got something for the mothers. We'll be having them up. Lord willing, something for them, to them. And everybody bring Mama next Sunday morning. Now, oh, I need help right here just a second.
You up here, Brother Ken? You didn't get a bus driver?
We need a bus driver. Would one of you men volunteer? Could you, one of you men, drive this afternoon, drive a bus home? Could you do that, brother? Okay.
See him after service.